It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Noah Ovshinsky, in today for Rob Ferret. Coming up later on the program, we'll talk about yesterday's shooting at a D.C. Navy yard. Our guest says that despite the casualties, we shouldn't expect national legislation anytime soon.
But first, this is the part of the show each week where we geek out about something or look back on something nostalgic in our past. And this week we found something that combines a bit of both.
Comic books are an iconic part of American culture. Over time, what started as cheap entertainment for kids evolved into an art form of its own and gave us the superhero as well.
But older comics have a problem. They were printed on cheap, acidic paper that deteriorates over time. And that means comics from the golden and silver ages of comic book production are destined to fall apart.
And that did not sit well with John Sindel. So he set to work developing a method to preserve these comics for well into the future. And this led him to start the Q Collection Comic Book Preservation Project. And he's here now to tell us about it. John, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
So let's get right into it. John, what got you interested in comic book preservation?
Back in 2001, I purchased a comic book called the 1939 World's Fair comic. There's only 75 copies of that known to exist. And when I got it and tried to turn a page, the page fell apart. And so I sent it to a restoration specialist, Matt Nelson. And he emailed me when he received it, and he said specifically, he said, the only thing you can do with this comic is stick it in a drawer and forget about it. And I was really upset, and so I said, well, what about all comic books? He says, well, they're all going to have the same problem. He said, they're all going to be gone in 100 to 200 years. He said, there's nothing we can do about it, so we let it go.
Do people care about comic book preservation? I mean, you hear about preserving, you know, the great works of literature, important documents. Has this kind of been off people's radar?
It has in America, but it hasn't been internationally, which has really surprised me, because so many Americans are dead set against what I'm doing, and yet I've got 26 advisors who reside in 19 countries. Mm-hmm. So people like one of my advisors is in Slovenia, one in South Africa, Japan, New Zealand, all over the world. They're enthused about it, and these are professors and academics, writers, and artists.
Why would people be against preserving these comic books?
Because they believe I'm destroying them.
By preserving them? Explain
yes,
that.
Because in order to preserve them, I have to cut them up, and then I have to cook them using a Mylar UV-resistant laminate, and I cook them at a high temperature and melt the Mylar into each page. And then I cut them to fit and put them into special binders.
I can see why that would be hard for people who love comic books when you say you have to cut them up and cook them. But we have an example of what you did to preserve a comic book, a Dick Tracy super comic. And, you know, it looks beautiful and looks like it's going to stand the test of time. Are people convinced when they see what you've done?
When they see it, yes. But a lot of people are very hard-headed. And the idea of taking a comic that's worth thousands of dollars and changing it so it's worth nothing. And my entire collection is now worth nothing. So they think, you know, to me, it should never be a commodity. It should be a source of imagination and entertainment.
I mean, there are a lot of comic books out there. And I went through my garage a few months ago and I found a box of my very old comic books that had been sitting on the garage floor, a cement floor, for over a year now, with moisture and different temperatures and things like that. They're not in good shape. They're also comic books that I don't think are really collectibles, or they're not comic books people are, I don't think, going to miss. What criteria does a comic book have to meet, you know, to be included, or that you would consider to use your process with?
Well, I refer to these as key comic books, and that's generally considered important if it's the first issue of a series or the first appearance of an important new character within that series, revising of an existing character for a new comic book age, such as the Silver Age, or an origin issue, or maybe a classic cover. I'll give you an example. I recently picked up a copy of All Negro Comics No. 1 from 1947. There are between 10 and 20 copies of that comic known to exist. It's extremely expensive. When I got it, I could not turn a page because it was suffering from dry rot. So I laminated every page, and I had to use a spatula to get each page into a laminating pouch. And then I cooked them. And now you can read them cover to cover. You can do anything you want with them. They cannot be hurt.
So do you have any regrets about doing this? I mean, you said your comic book collection would be worth a lot of money. I don't know how much, if you're willing to tell us, but now you've done this. You've said it's worth nothing. Any regrets about that?
I got some figures for you just for fun. Right now there are 215 key comic books in the collection. If they were all in mint condition, they'd be worth $5,470,845.
And you cut them up?
Well, they weren't in that condition when I bought them because my project is a rescue mission. So I go for comics between poor and good grade. And if they were in a poor to good grade and not cut up, they'd probably be worth between $150,000 and $200,000.
Now, you're worried about posterity here. You're not worried about, you know, the $5 bucks you're losing out on.
Well, I don't have any kids, so I'm not going to leave any money to them. And they don't have any kids because they don't exist. I have one nephew, and he's the richest guy in the family, and I'm hoping he'll leave me money. But the thing is, what about stuff that I buy? So what? If when I die, what's going to be left? Stuff for somebody else? It doesn't matter. But when I die and I've left this with the Library of Congress, there's something that is going to provide entertainment and a source for historians for thousands of years.
Does the Smithsonian approve of what you've done with these comics? Are they interested in your method?
The Library of Congress, I've been in touch with them. I've worked with Georgia Higley, and she's in charge of that section. They only began buying comic books in 1950. Right now they have 100,000 comics, but they don't have the comics that I do because they're too rare and too difficult to get hold of. A lot of the comics that I have were never for sale. They were only sold to me under condition they'd be used in this project. So they would never be able to get them even at the Library of Congress. And their advisor, Robert Bierbaum, is also one of my advisors. So he knows what they have and what they don't have.
We've talked about the the physical, you know, degrading of these comic books that time and perhaps poor storage brings to them. But what about the different ways people are experiencing comic books, or, you know, the differences in technology that kids and young adults are dealing with today? They've got, you know, the web, and they've got, you know, all these options when it comes to media. You know, is comic book consumption still relevant? And what does that mean for your project?
Right now, there's approximately 300,000 collectors just in the United States, and there are probably millions worldwide. America's consumption of comic books is tiny compared with, say, Japan. But the thing is, you said the key word, today. Not tomorrow, not the day after, not the day after that. It's like an 8-track player or a record player that plays only 16 2/3 revolutions per minute. So what happens when technology changes? Do you think these scans that they're putting on digitalizing right now are going to last? Maybe in 100 years, probably not in 500. And as for 10,000, no, they're not going to be around, and people won't have a clue what they are. Only hard copies will still exist. They're the only guarantee.
Well, the comic book is such a huge icon of American culture, even though there's only, you know, not quite as many collectors here as you said there are in Japan. But it does sound like there's this international interest surrounding your collection in particular. How did you get such interest in it from around the world?
I had an article that was done in the International Journal of Comic Art, and that was done last fall. And that goes all over the world. And I was suggested by the publisher that I should get in contact, and gave me a few names. I did that, and they in turn suggested, you know, there's somebody in Slovenia or there's somebody in France that you should get in touch with. And I started doing that, and one by one, I gathered until at 26. I had to say, that's enough advisors. 19 countries pretty much span the globe.
That's quite a few. John, thanks so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you for putting up with me.
It was easy. John Sindel is the founder of the Q Collection Comic Book Preservation Project.